This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The state will soon close the hunt for the Mulchatna caribou herd for the rest of the season. The closure will take effect this Friday at midnight on January 31st. The restriction is a conservation measure following the herd's dramatic population drop to half the size it was 3 years ago. The state's announcement to close the hunt is the most recent development in a series of tightening regulations around the herd. In August, the state reduced the bag limit from 2 caribou to 1 caribou. Federal managers followed suit for federal land and restricted harvest to bulls and western game units. Then in December, federal managers closed the hunt entirely in its jurisdiction. At that point, the state still wanted to gather input from subsistence users and kept its hunt open. Since then, Todd Rinaldi with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the department has talked with many of those users and received support from the Board of Game to close the hunt. The goal is to increase the herd's population.
If we harvest too many bulls or too many animals in general, there won't be any growth in the herd, any minimal growth in the herd.
The state doesn't know why the population dropped and is working to fill holes in its understanding of the herd. For years, Fish and Game has surveyed how many calves per cow are born each season and how many of those calves survive. Those numbers have looked healthy. This winter, the department began adding surveys of the herd's adults to determine their survival as well. State managers want the communities who hunt the caribou to understand the herd's conditions and the state's decisions. To spread the word, Fish and Game will be rolling out a robust communication plan.
And that communication plan is going to involve not only direct emails to previous and current permit holders, but it'll have direct postal mailings to all current box holders in the region.
The department will also begin publishing a news magazine called Caribou Trails to distribute information on the Mulchatna caribou herd. Also, in March, the department plans to begin visiting communities who rely on the herd.
To not only make people aware of what the current regulatory situation is, but to give them the full breadth and understanding of where the Mulchatna caribou herd has been and where it's going, and then also to provide our plan and moving forward.
The hunt requires a permit and remains open until Friday. The department asks that hunters who take a caribou to report their harvest to Fish and Game. In state legislative news, as the 2020 legislature kicks into gear, lawmakers are preparing to focus on the state budget and other priorities. Bethel Democrat Tiffany Zolkuski, who is also the only Alaska Native woman in the House, talked with KYUK's Christy Schallenberger on her hopes that the state will establish stronger relationships with Alaska Native tribes and draft a sustainable state budget.
Tiffany Zolkuski's biggest priority is similar to last year, the state budget. Dunleavy has proposed a state budget that would keep a $3,000 permanent fund dividend and avoid the large cuts he proposed last year. Instead, it would use money from the Constitutional Budget Reserve to cover the $1.5 billion deficit to pay for state services. Zolkuski doesn't think the proposed budget is realistic in its current form. She says her job is to make sure the budget and PFD amounts are sustainable for years to come.
Our savings accounts that the state has really enjoyed spending from the last several years to fund our budget are really depleted. You know, I think what we're going to have to do again in the House and in the legislature is really find a balance between a sustainably sized dividend and finding sustainability in our budget overall.
But while she tackles the state budget, Zolkuski is also looking at legislation in other areas. She is now the chair for the Health and Social Services Committee while maintaining her leadership for the Special Committee on Tribal Affairs. Last year, the committee held hearings to explain the intricacies of treaties, public safety, and government-to-government relationships with Alaska Native tribes. Zolkuski says she plans to keep focusing on the missing and murdered Indigenous people crisis and public safety.
And we have some ideas that we're potentially going to be bringing into light sometime this session.
Another priority is tribal compacting, which is a formal agreement between governments that defines what role each plays to provide services. Governor Dunleavy says last year that he plans to pursue an education agreement with the state's tribes. Senator Gary Stevens, a Republican from Kodiak, has introduced a bill to do just that. Zulkuski urges the Dunleavy administration to make sure tribes have the resources from the state to provide these services.
We want to make sure that tribes feel empowered and comfortable with any sort of policy language that's going to be introduced, because they would ultimately be the ones entering into negotiations with the state of Alaska.
In a statement, Dunleavy says the administration is currently in, quote, active discussions with the Department of Education and Early Development, legislatures, tribes, education groups, and stakeholders regarding legislation to create tribal compacting for education, unquote. Meanwhile, Zulkuski's other priorities include public health and protecting the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund. Zulkuski is also planning to run for re-election later this year. She has already filed the paperwork. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
In more legislative news, protecting the subsidy that helps lower the cost of power in the bush is Bethel Senator Lyman Hoffman's number one priority again this legislative session. Last year, the governor's budget would have transferred or swept the power cost equalization funds into other projects, but Hoffman fought hard to protect it and succeeded. But now he wants to get legislation in place to protect it in the future.
I met with the governor several times last year and to try to convince him that power cost equalization should not be a sweepable item. At AFN, he made a public statement that he wants to work with me to get language to assure that no other governor can make that a sweepable item. He says that he is supportive of the program, but wants to work with me to get language to make sure that it is not sweepable.
As the majority leader in the new Senate organization, Hoffman is in a unique position to get the votes in the Senate for protecting power cost equalization. Hoffman is also focused on education. The senator says funding for education won't be a major battle this year as it was the last session. The new idea being put forth by the administration is a tribal compact on education. Here, Hoffman proposes taking a cautious approach.
I would say that possibly passing the legislation with the pilot program where one or two school districts can apply and see how it works and get all the kinks out of it before we give it further consideration.
Senator Hoffman says that something needs to be done because students in public schools, including many in rural Alaska, are not meeting basic educational standards. For example, some third graders still struggle with reading. You can hear KYUK's entire conversation with Senator Lyman Hoffman tomorrow on Coffee at KYUK. Turning to municipal news, tonight's Bethel City Council meeting will cover liquor licenses and taxes. Philly's Pizza is applying to renew its liquor license for selling beer and wine. In addition, the ownership is changing hands. Current owner, Mafail Salyu, is selling the restaurant to Marina Inc., a company partially owned by Todd Perez. Perez formerly managed Caribou Traders Liquor Store, which shut down earlier this month when Bethel entered local option alcohol status. The council has 60 days to protest the liquor license renewal and transfer. Councilmember Cece Franco is proposing they waive that opportunity to protest. Bethel City Council will also be looking at a new way to collect sales tax on online purchases. In 2018, the Supreme Court ruled that retailers had to collect and remit sales tax for what they sell online in any state. However, many businesses still don't because the scale of collecting a different sales tax rate and remitting it to each city is so large. So, the Alaska Municipal League created the Alaska Remote Sales Tax Commission, a statewide organization that will serve as a middleman between online retailers and municipal governments to simplify the transactions. The City Council will consider joining the commission tonight. Acting City Manager Bill Howell says that the city could gain up to $300,000 in new sales tax revenue. Joining the commission is just a first step. The city would also have to update its tax code. You can tune into tonight's Bethel City Council meeting on KYUK at 6:30 p.m. Lastly, the National Weather Service has issued a wind chill advisory for the Kuskokwim Delta and Lower Kuskokwim River area. The advisory is in effect until noon on Wednesday. The Weather Service forecast wind chills as low as 50 degrees below zero, with the coldest conditions along the coast. The Weather Service recommends wearing appropriate clothing and taking travel precautions. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news at kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.